Welcome to today's amazing Kids, Families, and Relationship Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you Ms. Norma Hollis. Norma, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya, and it is my pleasure to be on the call with you today. And those of you who are listening, who I assume are individuals who are very interested in changing the world through your children, because that's one of the ways that all of us can impact the world through our children. As speakers, we talk about change the world from the front of the room. Well, you can change the world in other ways, too. Many of you who know me as the speaking lady. I owned a speakers bureau and have been coaching speakers for 20 years. Well, my first career before getting into speaking was in the early childhood field. My degree's in early childhood. I directed Head Start programs in Detroit, Michigan, and in California, Los Angeles area for about 20 years. When I ended my Head Start arrangement, that was in 1995. I was directing a $10 million Head Start program with 1,500 employees and 31 different sites, and learning a lot. And in addition to my Head Start background, I also was the early childhood consultant for the Los Angeles Catholic Archdiocese for 3 years. And in that role, I taught the early childhood catechists about preschool children and working with them in their Sunday school type programs. And I also have a great, great affinity for children's spirituality. And by that I mean helping children to be themselves. Children are born into the world with a very strong spiritual connection. And many times they lose that as they go through life, depending on who their parents are and how things work for them. So my role today is sharing with you the information and knowledge that I've learned from my early childhood background. And I also still do some work with advocating for children's spirituality, and I'll tell you how you can find some of that information online. A subtitle for today's program, I'm calling it Raising Authentic Children. And another way you can look at it is raising spiritually conscious children, because it's my belief that when we connect with our spirits and when we allow ourselves to be raised by our spirit and what's natural for us, we do have a more engaging, happier, we're more confident. Life just works better for us because we're becoming and stepping into the person we were born to be. So what I want to do today is to help you as parents and caregivers to have some information that will help you recognize who the children that are in your life, who they were born to be, or at least what they were born to do, and how you can look at that and help to raise these children into the gifts and talents that are naturally theirs. My work in this area is based on the research of Dr. Howard Gardner. Excuse me. Dr. Gardner created what he calls the multiple gifts of intelligence. And this was about 40 or 50 years ago. And the multiple gifts of intelligence he recognized as a way to help teachers find ways to teach children that's more aligned with who the children are. If you think of schools now, and I haven't been in a school actually in several years, so I haven't heard that they've changed. Maybe they have. But for the most part, schools don't change. They are, in many cases, the same formats, the same structural arrangements that they were when I was a child, when many of you were children, and that was many, many decades ago. There are some schools that have changed and have more different types of activities, just like some corporations are changing to meet the needs of the people who are in the world now. What I want to talk about are these nine gifts that Howard Gardner discussed. I refer to them as wisdom gifts because as I look at these gifts, what I recognize is that it is through the way these gifts work with us that our wisdom comes. It's how we learn. It's how we get connection with each other. It's how we're most comfortable communicating. So let me go through them one by one, and there are nine of them. I do suggest that you write them down and take notes, because they're important for you and for your children, and also help you understand other people who are in your life. Because each one of us has an affinity with at least one of these more than the other. So our strength comes in one of these. We learn this way, we communicate this way, And in many cases, we choose our careers in this way. And if our people who know us and love us would relate to us in this way, we'd all be a lot happier, and we'd have a better relationships and communicate more effectively. So the first one of the wisdom gifts is the gift of verbal intelligence. And verbal is what many of the people who are on these calls as speakers, that's the gift that we have. We love to use words. Whether we use words as speakers or we're authors or we're writers or however we use words, whether we're speakers by themselves or whether we're DJs or MCs or radio hosts or whatever we do, we love words. We learn through words. We learn through reading. We learn through listening to other people's words. We learn through sharing words. These are people who have a verbal intelligence. Now, career-wise, these people will generally do things that involve words. In addition to speaking, they may be writers. They may be authors. They may be newscasters. Whatever they're doing words in the public and somehow sharing words in what they do. So look at the children in your life. Many of them start speaking early and don't stop speaking, and you know that words is something that's very important for them. Don't try to shut them down. Sometimes when children are very wordy, you know, we just want a little bit of silence in our life. But work with the children. Help them to recognize the gift that they have and their ability to use words. Help them to know the right words to use. These are children also that really love to look at books. They love to have book stories read to them. When I raised my niece, I didn't always read stories to her. I had her tell me a story. Or I would tell her a new story and just make up a story every day and do it differently, different ways to use words. And now she's an excellent writer. We helped her to use her words in more effective ways, and that's helping her in different career ways that she moves through life. She also came to many of my training programs. You know, when you have young children, you just cart them along with you when you're doing things. And as a result, I didn't realize how much she was listening and learning from the things I was sharing with the adults in the crowd that I was teaching. Well, lo and behold, when she was in the fourth grade, they had an oratorical contest, and she came in first place. She was listening and watching how I was role modeling speaking, how I was teaching speaking. You know, we don't always know what our children are watching, but trust me, they are watching and learning from every move that we make. The younger they are, the more they're watching us. So watch what you put in front of them, because they will emulate it. I'm glad that I had a chance to show Chantel to emulate to her some positive speaking experiences, because it has made her an effective communicator in many, many ways. So the first gift that we talked about of the wisdom gifts is verbal. Consider how it works for you. I'm assuming if you're on these calls, you are a speaker, you do enjoy speaking, you enjoy words. It may be one of your top gifts. Now, as I go through these, I would suggest that you identify which ones are your top three. There are some assessments. I do have an assessment available that can teach you and you can take and you can learn where your top assessment is, where your top gift is. You can also kind of glean it from the conversation that we're having today. Whatever you're doing in life as an adult and earning income should involve one or more of your top three wisdom gifts. That's how you will stay happiest in life. Okay. So the second wisdom gift is visual. These are people who learn through sight. They learn by seeing. They love color. They're also pretty good with spatial orientation. So they like jigsaw puzzles, for example. They can see space alignments and put them together. These might be interior designers where they're visual and they do spatial things. They may be drafting people. Some engineers are visual, depending on what level of engineers that they may look at. But these are people who also love the fine arts. They might redraw. They might make different craft things. They like to create things that are visually appealing. Careers for them also relate to these things I just mentioned, arts. Now, you know, these are children also that you don't want to dissuade from their gifts. When people have creative gifts, oftentimes parents get scared because it's harder to generate income and a living, a sustainable living through creative gifts. People, adults, really like when you have the more tangible things that align themselves more with a 9-to-5. But don't stop a child's creativity when they do have the visual gift. you never know how it can be used. That visual gift, for example, could be a phenomenal gift to use in a graphics department in a computer animation studio. You know, the one thing that our job is as parents is and caregivers is to raise the children by their gifts, not by who we think they're going to be as an adult. Life is changing so fast. As I've heard someone remind us, the way it is today, it's not getting any slower. It's going to keep going faster and faster. So we don't have the ability to predict what the world's going to be like when the children that we're raising are adults and are looking for jobs. So there's no way we can predict what's best for them to learn to fall into a job that would be appropriate for them. What's appropriate for us is to raise them by the gifts that were given to them at the time of their birth, and then they can see how that fits into the world. So just like I said with visual, there was a time when there was very little ways to make money on a visual gift. But now that's growing, and it's going to be growing even more as the world expands and computer access and accessibility and changes take place, and more is done on the computer, and all that, and many of that's going to involve graphic and other type of visual ways of viewing the world. I mean, after all, the Internet itself is a visual environment. So that's another gift, visual. Raise children by that gift. Allow them to express that if you find that. And by the way, all of these gifts can be Googled to learn more about them. You can Google Dr. Howard Gardner. You can Google multiple gifts of intelligence. You can Google the gift of and whichever one you want to write. And the next one we're going to deal with is the musical gift. And these are children, people who really love music. They love to sing. They love to dance. They tap their feet. They snap their fingers. They always have the music on. They're always singing. They maybe want you to sing with them, whether you can sing or not. They just love music. Everyone does not love it in the way that they do, but they do. And these are people who can find careers where music is a part of it. I'm reminded of a speaking engagement I had once where I spoke to some college students, and one student was a senior, and he came to speak to me afterward, and I was speaking about gifts and the authenticity and the importance of stepping into who you are. And he was sharing with me how he was in school as an accountant in his senior year in college, and he really loved music. And he was in a quandary because he wanted to be in music. And so my suggestion to him was, since he already is about to graduate, become an accountant in a musical environment, and then you can gradually move into the music industry. So even if somehow you got into the wrong career or the wrong area of your expertise or your gift, shift it to the point that you can do it and move it in the industry and shift it for yourself. For myself, for example, I got into the industry of speakers, of the speaking industry, as a bureau owner, which requires more marketing skills, which is interpersonal, which I haven't discussed yet, that I have. And so I just realized I was in the right industry, but in the wrong place. So I had to shift myself to the right place. So we're constantly shifting ourselves, and now people have over 5 jobs in their course of their working career. So it's okay to shift. So if any of these are your gifts and you're not expressing them now, feel free to move yourself into it, and then definitely help your children to express and develop these gifts so they can have a greater affinity for it as they get older. The next one is kinesthetic, and kinesthetic has to do with moving around, with movement. These are people who learn through moving. They are your athletes. They're your dancers. They are people who work on the outdoors. They like to just be up and about. They don't do well sitting still. Unfortunately, some of these children in today's world get labeled as ADD, attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, when in fact what they really want is more opportunity to move about. When you have these children at home that can't sit still, give them activities and things to do that enable them to stay moving, to keep them mobile, so that they do not get bored and they don't get to be a pester to you, and they have that energy that's bottled up if they don't get a chance to express it. Send them outside to play in the playground. Send them outside on a run. Send them to the store for you. Let them do some things that enable that energy to get out. They're kinesthetic learners. They learn by touching, by feeling, and by doing, by being involved in activity. Put these children in activities, in sports activities, in dancing, gymnastics, whatever activity is going to enable them to let that energy out and enable them to be themselves, and then help them to find careers that don't cause them to be confined. They would not be happy in a confined environment, but careers that enable them to express themselves and be out there in the world. The next one is mathematical logical. And these are individuals who not only like numbers and math, but they also are logical. They understand the big picture. They can see the relationship between parts. They're good problem solvers. They can see the big picture. They're not only good with numbers, but they're good with analyzing and interpreting and enabling others to understand the bigger picture of what's going on. A lot of us get caught in the details. These people can stand over the details and see the big picture. They're great problem solvers, and they're great for resolving issues that might be going on. If you have children who express this, and you can recognize them easier because of their ability and affinity with numbers, that you may not see the problem-solving stuff early, except they may be attempting to solve problems of the family. Maybe they're not capable yet, but they're making a stab at solving problems. But you can also recognize them by their affinity with numbers, because they do like to work with numbers. So begin to allow them to look at different issues and solve problems. When you're having family conversations, for example, get their opinion. See what they see. Give them opportunity to practice. There's a small percentage of the population that has a mathematical logical gift. We know that because when we meet people and we talk about math, there are so many of them that say, oh, no, I don't do math. I don't like math. But they can use that same skill in the logical way. So if you have children who have that gift, allow them to make decisions, allow them to see problems, allow them the opportunity to use this gift to solve problems that maybe you're dealing with, that the family's dealing with. The answers may come, may not be the answers that you use. They'll be the answers that come from their age and their view of the world, but you're giving them practice in seeing the big picture and in solving problems and in recognizing where their gift lies. And as they get older, give them deeper problems to solve. See how they solve their own problems and begin to help them to use that. It's a very, very valuable tool that is needed in many industries. It just needs to be developed. The next one is the gift of nature. These are children and adults who like to learn by being in the outdoors. People like to just be outside. They're happier in the air, in the breeze. They are landscapers. They may be outside and doing garbage removal, maybe not a pleasant job, but definitely a consistent one and involves being outdoors. They may be dog walkers. They may work in a carnival. They may do some things that are structured, 9-to-5, outside, painting lines in the traffic, doing things that way. It might be construction, but they just love to be outdoors. Now, these are people also who see patterns in life. There's three areas. I mentioned logical, mathematical, but also musical, and your nature people are able to see patterns in life. Let me go back to music for a minute, because music is based on 8 notes in an octave, and an octave goes from one to one area to another, in whether it's high soprano or low alto or bass or whatever, but it's based on those patterns. And likewise with nature. With nature, if you look at leaves that come off of a tree, they have a certain pattern in them. You cut a tree itself, and you see the patterns of how many years old it is, because the circle comes every year. You throw a rock into an ocean, and there's a pattern of a wave that comes, and there's a very distinct pattern in how that comes. And these are all related to nature. So people who are the nature do have the ability to see the big picture and make logical and see the patterns, but they do it more in the outdoors, and they do it more as it relates to nature and as it relates to the things that come naturally from God within the environment. They love to be outdoors. The next one is interpersonal. Now, interpersonal are individuals who love to be around other people. They are your social butterflies. They love to be outdoors. They love to talk a good game. They love to be the life of the party. These are people who learn by being with others. They make excellent salespeople. They may not realize that they're great salespeople, but they are, because they have the gift of gab. In many cases, interpersonal comes connected with the gift of verbal. When you have the two of those together, you definitely have someone who will be a good salesperson. If you're looking for someone on your business team, get an interpersonal verbal person. You'll have someone who will do very well with selling your product as long as they believe in it. Interpersonal people definitely like to be around other people. They don't like being alone. a lot of your high energy speakers on the circuit now are interpersonal people. If you notice, a lot of people who make the big bucks are interpersonal people. They like being around crowds. They like sharing their energy. They like speaking up. They're somewhat assertive. They're not afraid to share their mind and speak what they believe in. They may be dead wrong, but they're going to speak it and say it anyway because they have a confidence that comes with being around other people. If you're looking to gain more confidence and security and even sales in your career and your life, think about looking at your interpersonal skills and how you might be able to enhance those. If you have a child who's interpersonal, allow them to be around other children. Watch them. Help them to manage their relationship skills so that they, when they are around other people in the interpersonal area, they are doing it in a way that's aligned with the environment that they are in. Not all environments are welcoming to highly interpersonal people because, again, some of them can be very high energy, and that's not the right environment for all situations. So when you see you have children who are high energy and high interpersonal, help them to manage and to monitor that so they can use it to their best advantage. Highly interpersonal people generally have the capacity for great personalities. So help your children develop the great personality that's at the foundation of being interpersonal. In contrast, interpersonal is intrapersonal. And intrapersonal are people who learn by going within. There are some people who are relatively introspective, and they learn that way. We meet a lot of these people in the religious environment, your monks, a lot of your priests, your nuns. A lot of these people are interpersonal. They prefer to commune interpersonally with a higher power and share what they've learned that way. These are also a lot of times your people who are very creative. When they have it aligned with verbal, they become your poets and your deep writers and deep thinkers. When you have it aligned with visual, they become your deeper artists, and they create paintings that are deeply moving in many, many, many environments. Intrapersonal, they may not talk a lot. They may scare their parents because they don't share always where they're thinking, and so you may have to pull out from them and ask them more questions, and questions that are non-judgmental that allow them to share what's on their mind. If they're not mixed with verbal, they may not share much, and even if it's mixed with verbal, they may not share much. These are children also who should journal a lot, because journaling will help them to understand themselves, to communicate more effectively, and then to go back as adults to look at where they were, where their mind was when as children, to help them in their own decisions for careers and moving forward. And then the final one is existential. People and children who learn through an existential skill and existential intelligence. This one was actually the last one that Dr. Gardner identified. It is, at least for me, only recently being recognized and now included in my work. It was not around when I did this initial research about 20 years ago. There was not much said about existential. And as I tell you about it, you'll understand why. Because existential are individuals who have kind of a sixth sense, an ESP. They learn through that existential connection with the world. They are more connected with the universe. They may do unusual things like talk to animals, for example, have extrasensory perception, be a little bit psychic, have an affinity with the universe, have a deeper intuitive spiritual understanding of things that doesn't make sense to those who are more tangible. They touch and see the world in different ways outside of the more tangible ways that most of us view the world or have been taught to view the world. They actually help us transition into the new world that we're transitioning to. These are children that you want to listen to deeply. Many of these children are the new children. We are in the period now where we are transitioning as humans from being Homo sapiens to being what is called Homo luminis. Let me repeat that because some of you may not have gotten that, and it's really important. You know, as we've gone through the cycles of millenniums of years, we were Neanderthal, Cromation. I don't remember all the rest of them. I didn't research it. But I know right now we're called Homo sapiens. And there's evidence now of the new children coming into the planet who are called Homo luminous. And you can Google that and look it up. And you can recognize some of these children from a side profile of them. You look at them from the side, and their foreheads extend beyond their nose. For most of us, our foreheads are kind of flat, and our noses extend beyond the forehead. But if you start looking around the young children around you, maybe in your own home, you will see children whose foreheads actually extend beyond the nose. You put your hand up there, and you can feel forehead and nose at the same time. And part of that is that God is, it's what our interpretation, earthly interpretation, is that the pineal gland is being expanded to be to have a greater connection spiritually as a way for God to be more connected and give more assignments and clarity about moving forward and following the assignments that he's given us in the world. And so these children have this deeper spiritual connection. They're here in many times to share information with us, to teach us. So listen to them. You know, there was a time, and I guess it still happens, where parents would say, no, you can't believe it. How could you know that? You're just a child. And yet children come, and there's evidence now that children can come on the planet and actually speak to who they may have been in a past life. This might be scary for some of you that may not believe in that, but there's a book called Children's Past Lives by a woman named Carol Bowman. It's about 20 years old, and she speaks about this quite a bit. So there's a lot of information out there about the new children on the planet and what's happening with them and who they are and how to recognize them. I would like to recommend for any of you who would like to learn more about this that I do have some work that I've done on it, and it's based on raising spiritually conscious children. You can find this by going to my website, normahollis.com, normahollis.com. And when you get to my website, you'll see a link for e-courses. And on the e-courses list, you'll see the third one is child development. And you can just follow the links there to unlock your child's spiritual genius, and you will come to a page that will tell you all about raising spiritually conscious children. Again, normahollis.com, and go to e-courses, and you'll see the link for child development. And that's your clue to follow that. And you'll see I've done quite a bit of work over the course of years and have quite a few products on that page and quite a bit of information that will also tell you a lot about new perspectives, because what I share with you are different perspectives and helping you see how the children that are coming into the world now see the world and therefore what our role is as parents. And I would be delighted to speak with any of you. I love to speak at events and do telesummits and anything else to share this information. You can email me at coaching@normahollis.com. COACHING, coaching@normahollis.com. And one more thing, any parent that might have a child that you might see in this area and you'd like to get some coaching about what's the best things to do with children in this area, I'd be delighted to have a talk with you also and see how I can help you, because our role as parents is one of the most important ones we have, to raise these children so that they too can impact the world. We can change the world not just from the front of the room, but also from the children that we raise. And I'm delighted to have to share this with you, and I look forward to speaking with any of you about this in greater detail. Thank you, Tanya.